Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the day, Father, in which you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for every good thing you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for our healing in all things, Father. Father, that you've taken care of that mankind couldn't. We praise your holy name. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, watch over us all. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word this evening. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be dealing this evening with the third chapter of the book of Acts. I know it hadn't been long since we've been there, but because of starting through the Bible, I've started back at the beginning of each part of it. And we all need to remember things that we have forgotten. And one of the most things we have forgotten today is always to put God first. And so many of us have forgotten that. And we think that just because we can claim to be believers, and everything else is all right, and I can go ahead and just do my thing, and I'll spend time with the Lord God when I can, and every now and then. That won't work. I'm telling you now, that will not work. He is number one. He has to be first in your life over everything and everyone. Now, as we get into chapter 3 here, verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You know, they talk about the ninth hour. That's around 3 p.m. They started theirs a little different than we do. But anyway, that's what it was. That was the hour that was set aside for all of them to go to the Lord in prayer. And that's what we need. And that's why this change has been made in this ministry. Because I know that the Word of God and time for prayer will be available to all that wants to be a part of it every day, at least once or twice. Now, verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Here's one, he's so crippled, he's got to be carried and put there. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. He's asking, he's begging, he's a beggar. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Think about this. Look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. He really don't know what he's about to get from them. But he's doing as they told him to do. And he's expecting and believing that he's going to get something from them. Think about it. How much faith have you got? We've been told what to expect and what we can receive, but how many's getting it? Not many today, is it? Now, here in verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, makes us wonder how strong a faith we got, doesn't it? Man so crippled he's carried daily, set to beg. He asked an alms. He was expecting something that would help him live. He sure wasn't expecting what he was about to get. They told him to rise up and walk. And they know where they stand with the Lord to the point they don't have any doubt that he's going to receive it. Because then here in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand. Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, they all had faith. He had faith he was going to receive something from them. He just didn't know what it was. But they had the faith and knowing that God was going to do exactly what they said, because they knew where they stood with him. Now, 8, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And let me tell you something. When you receive that healing power from the Lord Jesus Christ, you will for hours give him praise. Give him thanks for what he has done to you and for you. Now, 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. 10. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You see, when you are walking in the will of God and you are doing what God has for you as an individual to do, there are no doubts. Because if there is doubt, things are not going to work. But when these things work, when that power of God is working wonders in your life, others are going to see it. And they're going to want to be a part of it because it's something they don't have. And we have so many out there today that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ for their lives, because they're walking in darkness, they're walking in sin and evil. But if they will give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him in with them and fulfill that plan of salvation and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, they'll find wonders working in their life. And they'll find it helping to bring others to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can use every excuse we want to use, every excuse we can make up. But one day, we all will stand before the judgment seat of God, and those that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and the Holy Spirit, we're going to find themselves short and lost and on their way to hell and that lake of fire. But we have so many today that believe, no, that's not so. If there is a God, he's supposed to be good and all. He's not going to put anybody in that lake of fire. He didn't put you there. You put yourself there by being disobedient and making the wrong choices for your life. He gave us everything we need to stay out of it. But most choose to go their own separate ways. And to walk contrary to the Word of God. And in the day and time we're living, we've got a lot of churches that's doing the exact same thing. And if you remember, Wednesday night is the night when we are in Revelations, and I read that to you. I told you why I read it. Not teach it, but read it. But we do know what it says, or should know. Think about that. For just a moment, anyway. Because His Word tells us He has given everything. But the main thing is we were reading about the seven churches. The seven early churches, remember? And He had something against each of them, didn't He? And He told us what it was. Now you can go back and read it and find out what it is. And if you are a member of the church, you see if your church is doing any of that. And you'll find that most of the churches out here today are doing it. Right now, we have very few churches that are actually teaching you the truth and the fullness of the Word of Almighty God. And that is a shame. And we need to be praying for them, praying that they will find out about their error and that they'll turn and repent and that their pastors will get back in to the gospel as the Lord God had it recorded by the Holy Spirit and the men He worked through. Because if they don't, they're going to be lost. Think about it. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the fat porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You see, that one act of the power of God at work has brought a lot of people, brought them wondering what had went on. And 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He's letting them know, beginning to let them know here, we didn't do this. So don't look at us like this. We didn't do it. It goes on in 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. You see, He's getting ready to really let them have it to get them to understand what is needed and what can be. Now, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now there's Peter, man that has denied Jesus three times because he was afraid of these people. Listen how he's talking to them. You see, now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost has come and went. The church age has begun. And those that are the children of God that's been reborn, they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And look at the difference it made in that man. And it will make a big difference in you. Man, woman, child, whatever. You will never be the same. Now, 16. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. His name. Whose name? Jesus' name. Has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You saw it. It was done in your presence, and you saw it. But even among them, there was a lot that did not want to accept it and wanted to turn away from it. Now, 17. Now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance you did it, and did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled everything he came to earth to do, even going to the cross, taking our pains, our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases with him, so that we would not have to continually to carry them, and that our sins could be forgiven and we could walk upright in righteousness serving the living God. Now, 18, but these things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He's fulfilled them. We know he did. He fulfilled them there at the cross. 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I don't care who you are, man, woman, child, that's hearing this. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you accept it or reject it, there is coming a day and a time you will stand before him. And you'll either be accepted or rejected, depending on how you have lived your life here on this earth. Whether you have been for him or whether you have been for yourself and the ways of this world. Now, 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You see, he's going to be in heaven. He's there sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for us. And everything that we do are for God, or everything we get from him, comes through him. It's brought to you that by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that was given to us when Jesus went back to heaven and on the day of Pentecost sent it down and started the church age. And let me tell you, we are way into that age. And I know that it's not going to be near as long as what most believes before the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his church. We'll be getting into a lot more about that as we go through the Word of God. Now, 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Moses prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and why he was coming, what his work would be, and what it would be for. Yet we have so many that don't want to believe anything, only in themselves. Now, 24. Ye and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. And you will find the foretelling many places about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? In the Old Testament. And as we go through the Old Testament, we'll be getting into all of that. This is what I mean. You see, there's a lot of people says you don't need to read the Old Testament. If you don't read it and study it, you're going to miss a lot of things. Because a lot of it was meant for you and I. And it is a thing that will help build your faith. Think about it. Now, pardon me. Now, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That was a covenant that the Lord God made with Abraham long ways back. We're going to close out that chapter with this next verse. Unto you first, God has raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You see, Jesus was to turn each and every one of us away from our iniquities. Think about it. Because we don't do a lot of thinking, do we? Now, we're going to go into the fourth chapter. We're not going to be able to get through all of it, but we're going to see, is standing with God always easy? No. Here this man has stood and done all his teaching and performed that miracle of healing that God had him to do. But he's paying a price for it. Are you willing to pay a price? Now in the fourth chapter and first verse. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now I want you to notice who these people are. The priest and the captain of the temple. And the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Pharisees did. Sadducees didn't. But here priests and everything are joining in. So don't think that just because a man says, I am a pastor of this church or that church or this church, that just everything he says or does is right. Make sure that it's in line with the word of Almighty God and that he is also. Now, verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. They've got them more or less jailed. They've got them in hold. 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. You see, they all wasn't that way. They got a lot of believers out of it also. But they are also now in hold. And the number of the men was about 5,000. How would you like to know that from what you had done and taught, 5,000 become believers and received the Lord Jesus Christ? But you see, a lot of times, and for a lot of us, it's a good thing we don't know. I have no idea in my years of ministry how many lives I've touched, how many lives has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and become believers? I have no idea. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Blog Talk. Plus pastoring different churches. I know that there has been many, many, many. Hear the message. But I have no idea how many. I know several that did, but I don't know how many. Now, 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" You see, they wanted to make sure of what Peter and John's going to stand on, so they have all this against them. Now, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." You see, he's not backing up at all. What about you? How many that has come against you and mocked you and made fun of you have you really backed away from? But you see, he hasn't. Verse 11. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." He is the cornerstone of the church. That's why there should only be one church. Now, you can name it all kinds of names, but, you know, in the early church, the churches were named after the location they was in or after the people. They hadn't built walls and called themselves denominations. They hadn't done that. Think about it. Think about that. They hadn't done. But today we have walls. They call them not walls, but they call them denominations and doctrines. I have asked me, what doctrine do you preach? I teach the Apostles' Doctrine. That's what this book of the Holy Bible is. I don't teach even the Apostles' Doctrine because, you see, we have a denomination here going today that's called the Apostles' Doctrine. No, I don't belong to that. I belong to the Lord's church, the one of this holy word, his church. When he called me into the ministry, he's the one that put me there. He put me into the church. Man didn't do it. Now, 11 says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become of the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Think about it. No other name. No other name is given whereby you and I can be saved. We have more today that is against Christianity than is for it. But we are growing, and we are going to see great things happen within the Lord's people and his church. Regardless of what name the church goes by, if it is teaching the truth of God's word with miracles and the gifts of God and the power of God at work in it, then that name don't matter. It belongs to him. Now, you know, there is no other way for you and I to make heaven our home. We either go through Jesus or we're going to miss out. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge for them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. They had proof standing there, so they couldn't get done really what they wanted to do. But they're still not really going to accept. Now, 15. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, talking among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Kind of leaves them in a straight, don't it? The man sitting there is walking, getting around him. Yet he'd been impotent from birth. And God had used Peter and John to do the work. That's like you and I. If God tells us to go lay hands on someone sick, and we go and lay hands on them and command that sickness to come out, and we raise them up, you and I didn't do it. The Lord God is the one that done it. He worked through us. As we laid that hand on that one, the Holy Spirit moved through that arm and hand and broke the power of God upon that one. It's not ours. Now, But to show you, they really not interested in accepting themselves. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They will threaten them now to see if they can keep them from speaking to others in that name. 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's being done in our own land, our own country, today, in a lot of places, and this covert put a lot of our churches in Satan's hands, and we need to be praying for them and for them to repent and come away and get right back with God. Now, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He's letting them know, you've got to be judged. Think about it. We've had some technical difficulties with YouTube. All right. Now, he goes on and 20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown, and may the Lord add his blessing to this word. We're going to stop right here for the day and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this day and the things that you've done, and for keeping us safe, keeping us in health, and for those that we could talk to this day to share your word. Now, Father, for those of this ministry and those that listen, Father, those that might be sick, we pray for their healing. We know that they are healed by Jesus' stripes. The word says so. The word tells us, by his stripes, ye are healed. It's already been done. It's already been given. Receive it. Accept it. Believe it and stand on it. And start praising God for it, thanking God for it, and you'll find it will get done. Father, we pray for the churches, all churches. We pray for those, Father, that has been teaching contrary to a lot of your word, that has grown weak. We pray and ask, Father, help us and help the Holy Spirit to work with them and bring us all together, and that they repent and turn back unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto your word, and that they will begin to teach your word, Father, as it is supposed to be taught, not according to their beliefs, their whims, or their will, but according to your will and your way, as it is given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, as we separate this evening, keep us all, Father, in the hollow of your hand, helping us each, keeping us safe. Let us rest through this night. May we speak to someone tomorrow about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bring us back together in the morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, this is my prayer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless.